How are we all? Are you all right? Good to see you all this morning. Toby said 18 months ago, I think actually we did an all-in, which was like a membership morning, and it was when we started Mosaic 6 months ago. So time flies when you're having fun. It's good. We are going to be starting a new series this morning called Technology, Following Jesus in a Digital World. How do we do that? What's our role in all that? And so we'll talk about that a little bit. I just want to give you a little heads up on something. Next week, we will not be in this series, ironically. We're gonna have Chris Kimbangi is going to be coming. He leads... Oh, hello. Oh, Zachary got too carried away. So Chris Kimbangi is coming from Hope Church Winchester. Not Winchester. It's Guildford, two different churches. But he's going to be coming. Just so you know, you're like, who is this guy? Chris Kimbangi was part of the leadership team who began what was Grace Church in Bognor. It was him and Thomas on the leadership team at the time and started Grace Church Bognor Regis, now Mosaic Church. And so it's such a blessing to have the founding pastor, or whatever you want to call it, coming back and bringing God's word. It's really exciting. So him and the whole family are going to be here. They're such a blessing. So do be ready to receive and enjoy what he's got to bring next week. So make sure you're here for that one. But as I said today, we're starting a new series. We're starting a new series on technology. And so you saw my question because Zachary put it up too quickly. But here we go. What is the difference? What's the difference between this and this? What is the difference between the two of them? And so some differences are quite simple. This is made of glass and metal and silicon and other things that I don't even know how to name. It's got that in it. And this is like paper and leather, and that's kind of it. And there's a material difference between the two of them, but there is also a plasticity. What I mean by that is how they can be changed, how they can be manipulated. This is very much, it is what it is. You can move it in terms of the material, but other than that, you can't really change it. You can write on it and try and change the words that way, but really it is what it is. It's quite fixed. It's quite limited on what it can do, whereas this is much more changeable. Okay, it can be manipulated. It is unlimited in many, many ways. It can travel space and time. Like, that's what this does. It's incredible. It's quite an amazing device, right? However, these are both products of technology. Whether you realize it or not, this is a product of technology. And we go, yeah, I know that. I can see that. But this is a product of technology too. This is an analog technology. This is a digital technology. And so that's why we're doing a tech series, all right? Because I think that there is a deeper difference. I think there might be a deeper difference to these two items. To think about the series, I want to think about how technology shapes us, how we use it, what does it offer, where does it pull on our hearts, where does it pull on us, and how following Jesus fits into this world of 2026 with technology. How do we do that? And so a quick disclaimer for the whole series, I want to say this, we are not anti-technology, all right? You've just had some information from Toby. There was QR code after QR code, all right? We are not anti-technology. I'm preaching from an iPad, okay? All right, we are not anti-technology. I want to make that really clear, all right? But we are, however, into thinking about what discipleship challenges that technology can create. Okay, so did you know, here's some statistics for you. Did you know that the average person in this room spends 3 to 4 hours on their phone each day. You can check your own usage, up to you. You can say some of it's legit, and it might be. Some of it might be for work. I get that. But the average person spends 3 to 4 hours a day on their phone. That equates to 2 months in a whole year. That's crazy. And that's the average. That's not like people who are on it all the time. We watched Michael McIntyre's big show the other week, and KSI was on it. This is for the youth, all right? This is me trying to be really cool. All right, KSI's on it. He said his screen time was 13 hours a day. That's bonkers. I can't imagine that, all right? But that's just one thing, all right? Secondly, our average attention span as human beings has dropped from 12 seconds, which is also not very much, to 8 seconds. It's dropped by 4 seconds since the early 2000s. That's another area. And I asked the youth, some students earlier, I was like, have you heard of this guy? And they were like, no. I was like, oh, I'm nuts. But there is a Christian artist called Josiah Queen, and he's got a song called Dusty Bibles. And it's a very good song. And I think he really shapes what technology is doing in our world at the moment. Are we busy? Or is it all a lie? We've got dust on our Bibles, brand new iPhones. No wonder why we feel this way. We walk with our eyes closed, blind leading blind folks, and I'm done with all those idols and dusty Bibles. Just brilliant, brilliant lyrics. Forrest Frank says something very similar in his music as well. And so I just feel that there is something, all right, we just need to focus on a little bit here. It is so true, right? We have brand new iPhones. When did you last buy a Bible? And when were you last bothered about your new iPhone? I know I am, right? This is personal as well, right? So the focus this morning, before we go into other areas, I really want to focus on this. I want to focus on a theology of technology, a theology of technology. One of the big challenges with preaching into a topic like technology is that the difference between the world of the Bible and our world now is huge, absolutely huge. Like if you were to get Moses, well, just before he's about to go and the sea parts, right? If you were to pick him up and you were to take him into 2026 Bognor Regis Town, his mind would be blown. Yes, the culture's different. Yes, there's the clothes look different. All of that, right? But I think the thing that would just strike him so massively would be the technology that he would see now compared to putting a stick in the ground, right? And so I think that's one of the big challenges. So the question I want to ask at the start is this. How did we get to where we are? How did we get to where we are? So this is, if you look historically, how did we get to where we were? First of all, we had tools which were part of the ancient world, okay? This would have been the stuff that you found in the Bible, okay? So tools, they were objects such as pots. We've used some of them now, like axes and wheels, all right? They make a task easier for a human, right? That's what they're designed to do. Tools were powered by human effort, and it required human strength or human skill to use them. And then what happens in the technological evolution is that we then get machines. Machines then come along in the medieval industrial world, early modern period. So tools have now changed and they've shifted into machines. And so machines, they're more complex, they're more powerful. This is things such as mills and looms and engines. And what often the shifting happened there is from tools to machines meant that they were not powered by humans necessarily, but something else, like the wind or fossil fuel or something like that. Human effort has decreased, but the skill to use them is still pretty much the same. And then we move into the modern world and we've gone from tools to machines to devices.
And so now in the modern world, we live with phones, apps, computers, AI. We watched a program yesterday about self-driving taxis. It's everywhere, right? And here's the shift. They require no effort and almost no understanding. And at the same time, they give us extraordinary power. And so we've shifted. What's happened in the evolution of technology is also this, that we have gone from high effort and high skill with tools to less effort and high skill with machines to low effort, low understanding, but massive power with devices. Why do this series? Because whether we realize it or not, technology is shaping us. It's forming things in us. And even if it's a book or even if it's a phone, it is shaping us, whether it is a tool or whether it is a device. So whenever something of that kind of influence comes into our life, what we need to ask is, what does God say about it? What does God say into this? And so that's why we're going to look at a theology for technology before we go into other areas as well. And so turn with me. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 4, right at the start of the Bible, first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 4. What's happened so far is we've got Adam and Eve, then Cain and Abel have come along, their children, and Cain kills his brother. We've just had the first human murder of the Bible, and we are introduced to that murderer's family line. This is what it says. Verse 17, Cain made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. And to Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Methushel, and Methushel was the father of Methushel, and Methushel was the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women, one named Adar and the other Zillah. Adar gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. His brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all who play stringed instruments and pipes. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, and he forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, Adar, Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. Oh, my pages are stuck. Ah, if only I had a device to help me. Then it says this in 25. Adam made love with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son and named him Enosh. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. How does Genesis 4 link to technology? Like that's just a huge, huge list of names. And so it may be a list of names, but did you spot in there that there was some innovations happening here? This is the first time we see technological innovations within the Bible. And so first of all, we see cities with Cain. So Cain builds a city in verse 18. And then Jabal, he is the father of housing and farming. He builds tents and farms and looks after animals and is able, an innovation in caring and farming there. And then we have Jubal in verse 21. He is the one who innovates culture and arts. He creates instruments and music. He builds those things. And then we have probably the most obvious one in verse 22, the innovation of tools and metalwork that happens through Tubal-Cain. And so these were the technological advancements of the age. Right? These were the technological advancements to develop a civilization at that time. But here's the surprising thing. This is the surprising thing in the Bible. Where did they come from? they come from the line of Cain, which is really interesting, right? Earlier on in Genesis chapter 4, we see the origins of this family line. And the origins of this family line is violence, it's death, it's brokenness, it's all of those things. And so this chapter, Genesis chapter 4, it falls sandwiched between the murder of Cain and then this ranting murderer Lamech. That's where these innovations fall, sandwiched between. And so I want us to grasp something that should surprise us, right? Technology emerges in a broken world amongst broken people. And you could hear me and you could think, well, tech is bad then, right? It's bad. It stems from all things that are evil. Like, so we shouldn't use it. We shouldn't use AI. We shouldn't use phones. All right, that's what we should do. And so I just want to frame it in the bigger picture of the Bible for a moment. All right? We see later on in the Bible how God uses all of these technological advancements. How God uses these technological innovations to move the kingdom of God forward, all right? So they live in tents, right? The tabernacle is a tent, right? They build a tent for God to live in, right? They keep animals to then give as sacrifices to God. They build a city, and it's called Jerusalem. They build this big city. They build a temple in that city. And what's in that temple is loads of beautiful metal and loads of carving. There's a gift in Exodus. There's a gift of craftsmanship. It's a gift from God. And so they also play music, don't they? They worship God on the lyre and the pipe. Like, that's what they do. And so I want you to spot this. Is technology good or bad? Which side shall I land here? And the answer is both. It's both. Technology, whether it is a phone or whether it is a book, all right, they provide power of some kind, but it's where that power is directed that matters. For example, I could have an axe. I can either chop a tree down or chop a leg off. Genuinely, I could do both with them. I'm not gonna chop a leg off. Right, but I could do. What I'm saying is this: technology, as we see in Genesis 4, it is not rejected. What happens with technology in chapter 4 is it is redeemed. It's redeemed through the purposes and plans of God. It can be used for good. It can be used for evil, just like a phone and a book can be used for good and it can be used for bad. And so I just want us to really notice for a moment the dangers of responding badly to technology for a moment. And so if technology is both good and bad, if that is the case, then how should I respond to that? How should I respond if it is both good or bad? And so the answer is it's quite simple but quite detailed. To be aware of its influence on you and take responsibility for your influence over it. Most of us instinctively drift into two camps when it comes to technology. The first camp is this one. We have the technophobes camp. And so they see new technology and they think, what can go wrong? What's going to happen here? Why is it all going to go wrong? They already predict the loss of control over humanity, the moral decline that it will bring. The unintended consequences from technology that are surely going to come. And I reckon there were technophobes all through every generation. Do you know what I mean? So I reckon there were people when the technological advancement of fire came who would be like, no, don't set that alight in here. Don't set a light in the cave. It'll set the whole cave off. Don't do that. Right? And there'll be people when the internet was launched, people going, this is the end of the world. And when cars were brought in and when factories were built, probably technophobes during that time as well. And I think when people used technology, they would fall into this in every single one of those when it went from tools to machines to devices. And the danger of having a technophobe viewpoint, position, posture, whatever you want to call it, is that we are shaped by fear. The danger of leaning so far into fear, just assuming the worst, withdrawing from what God could actually do for good. But there is also another side to this. So you've got the technophobes, but you've got the technofans. I don't know if it has a hyphen or not. Who knows how to spell technofans, but there you go. Right? They don't lean towards fear. No, they lean towards enthusiasm. All right, they say things like technology is going to make life so much easier. Just think of the possibilities of this new technology is going to do to help our communication, our productivity, our creativity. And so unlike technophobes who have the danger of leaning into fear, technofans have the danger of leaning into naivety. The danger of naivety means that we don't slow down enough to ask, what else is being formed in us beneath the surface? What else, what sins can be made easier to commit, if you will? Right? How could this power in technology exploit the vulnerable in our society? The point I'm making with both of these is that technology doesn't just do things for us. It does things to us. It forms us more than we realize. And to put it simply, we shape our tools and then our tools shape us. I think Churchill said that once. Which is why this technology, right, this technology here, the Bible, his book, right, should shape us more than this. Right? Josiah Queen, dust on our Bibles, brand new iPhones. Which are we being shaped by? I want to say something quite provocative. Steve Jobs gave us a phone. God gave us a book. It's just interesting. Right? The question, however, isn't about morality. Right? The question is about what is it forming us into, and we need to shape it rather than letting technology shape us. Psalm 115 says this. It describes how the Israelites, when they built sculptures and idols, they built them like this. And this is what it says. Those who make them will be like them. And so will all who trust in them. We need to be making sure that we shape the tools rather than them shaping us. Shape it rather than being shaped by it. And so I just want to give us a call to shape technology rather than to be shaped. Every technology that we have available to us leans us in a certain direction. If I have a hammer, everything I look at is a nail. If all I have is a hammer, everything I look at is a nail. A smartphone, right? I asked, what's the difference between this and a book? One difference I would say is the direction this technology naturally leans us towards. So a book, right? Take a book. This encourages us to naturally lean towards growing in knowledge or developing a pleasure for stories, to gather information, to have a love and a pleasure for stories. Can it be used for bad? Abso-jolly-lutely. Yeah, of course it can, all right? It can be filled with misinformation. It can spread false truths. But on the whole, books generally lean us towards flourishing, I would say. And here's the controversial bit. I would say that this leans us in the opposite direction. I would say that it encourages us. Right, does it do wonderful, amazing, incredible things? Absolutely. Right? I use this every single day. Right? It does incredible things. If I am lost, I can get home. All right? It is so convenient. Oh, how do I've put too much? Have you seen that advert where the person puts salt in a mixture and it then goes, "Hey Google, how do I sort this out?" And then they make something totally different. Like it's genius. It's so clever. It's really clever. It's really convenient. I can get my Bible on it, right? It's gotta be good. I can get my Bible on it and everything, right? It makes communication instant. But what it causes in us is to lean towards distraction. Its primary objective is to lean us towards distraction, to lean us towards impatience, to lean us towards disingenuous connection. I'm not anti-technology. I'm just wanting us to see what direction does each of the technology cause us to lean in, whether it's a book or whether it's a phone. To show what I mean, I'm gonna read something from a book, brilliant writer that I've read, and it's this book here. It's called How to Break Up with Your Phone. It's quite a humorous book. I recommend it. But in the introduction, she writes a comical but accurate open letter to her phone. She's writing as if it's a person, which we all do. And as she does, I just think this genuinely captures how deeply technology subtly shapes us and leans us without us even realizing it, okay? This is what she says. Dear phone, I still remember the first time that we met. When you were launched, I'll admit that your touchscreen, it caught my eye. But I was too busy to type a text message on my flip phone to start anything new. Then I held you in my hands, and things started to move fast. It wasn't long before we did everything together, taking walks, having lunch with friends, going on holiday. At first, it seemed strange that you wanted to come with me to the bathroom, but today, it's just another formally private moment that we share together. We're inseparable now, you and I. You're the last thing I touch before I go to bed, and the first thing I reach for in the morning. You make it possible for my avoidance strategies to be construed as thoughtfulness. And for this, I am grateful. These days, I can't remember the last time I was bored. Then again, I can't remember a lot of things. Like, for example, the last time my friends and I made it through a meal without one of us opening up our phones. Or what I wrote in that last paragraph. Or whose text I was looking at before I walked into that poll. My point is, I feel I can't live without you. And that's why it's hard for me to tell you that we need to break up. I think it's very helpful just to frame what we've just subtly just drifting into so easily. And so rather than unthinkingly embrace or reactionarily rejecting technology, instead I think we should act in a way which stewards technology well. And so my proposal is this. I spoke on money last week, and I think it's similar this week. We need to handle technology the way that we handle money. Right? Money is not good or bad. It's what God calls us to is to steward it well. And I would say that that is what we should do with technology. We need to steward it well. So what practices can help us do that? What practices can help us to handle technology well? And so the first one is podcast. All right? So just to say, I'm not trying to go viral, but we're gonna do a podcast after this series because we're really cool. And I appreciate the irony of using technology to talk about technology, like the irony in it all. All right, we're not trying to go viral or anything like that. So for many of us, this series, right, of technology, following Jesus in a digital world, it brings up a lot of questions which are really hard to answer, really hard to just cover in three preaches. Okay, so what we were going to do was get together and have a Q&A session with a panel. All right, that's what we were going to do. But instead, we decided we're going to go for a podcast. And so if you have got any question that you want to ask about technology, you can scan that QR code and you can ask it. All right, you've asked some questions. If you can put that on there, we will answer them for you, all right? So I'm going to leave that QR code will stay on the screen the whole time, so you can just get it out whenever you want to, but try and make sure you're listening at the same time, which you can't do, but we'll get there in a minute. All right, so scan the QR code, send your question in, and we'll chat about it if we can, during a podcast. So add in your questions there. Number two, right? So yeah, listen to our podcast. It's gonna be great. All right. Second of all, read. Right? Like we can just walk into this whole scenario and just blindly go, oh, he said this, I'm gonna follow that, and then we can hear Elon Musk and go, well, actually, technology is amazing, let's do that. And just making sure we're just understanding things a little bit clearly is to read some books. And so two book recommendations are these. If you are a parent, I would recommend every single parent to read Jonathan Haidt, The Anxious Generation. It is an incredible book. It's more fascinating than anything else about the impact of technology, social media, on young people. And it's just very much what Josiah Queen is saying in his song. So he's not a Christian. It's just a very helpful book. Just recommend that. And the other book is TechWise Family. And so this guy, he understands technology better than me. I don't fully grasp every bit of technology. I still don't understand what AI is. I'm still not even there. But it's full of statistics, full of just gathering some helpful statistics, research that can really support you to understand how do I make sure that technology is put in the right place. That's his aim in the book, is like putting technology, stewarding it well. If you want to do that, recommend that book. I think he's got a newer version out, which is a blue cover as well. But I wouldn't say I agree with everything in them, by the way. Just a caveat, caveat it all. If you're like, what? Just to caveat that. But also, so you've got to podcast, read, a personal diagnostic. What I mean by that is ask yourself the difficult diagnostic questions about your own technological use. All right? Does this technology that I have in my life, whatever area it is, all right, does it strengthen or does it weaken relationships? Does it shortcut or will it strengthen my spiritual formation? Does it increase or decrease my dependence on God? Does it cultivate patience or impatience in me? And so we can ask ourselves those questions, but the really hard bit, this is the one that you'll be like, oh, I don't want to do this. That's painful. This is just punching me. This is so annoying because I know you're right, but is ask others. I ask others about your technological use, all right? This is harder because we can go, this is definitely deepening my spiritual formation. I've got my Bible on my phone. I'm going to read it on there. I got it. It's all good. I've got a video to help me. And that might be true, right? But we can really deceive ourselves when it comes to this. Right? Others see it more clearly. Kim sees my mindless scrolling, and I see her mindless scrolling, right? Better than I see it myself, right? Last night, she was like, get off your phone. It even happened yesterday. And so invite somebody close to you, might be someone in your household, might be someone that you know, to give you honest input around your mobile use, your technological use. It might be iPad, I don't know what it is, right? Whatever it is. And ask those in your household, where do you think I am shaped too much by my tech? You will hate the answer, right? And you'll come up with all the excuses that you can possibly come up with, but actually, I need to steward this well and just steward this in a godly way. And then if you've got a family unit, why don't you ask with your family, right, how can healthy use of technology look like for us? What could it look like for us in this family? All right, if you've got kids, there you go, if you've got kids, ask them about your phone usage. If you've got kids, like, that will kick you hard. Oh yeah, you're on it all the time. You're doing this. And so just encourage you, ask somebody. But next, I just recommend fasting it. Fasting technology. I just want to call you to a season. I think it's so important to regularly have a season in your life where you remove it. And so this is one of the things of be really careful. Right. For some people, social media may be something. For other people, it might be something else. Okay? But I think it is right for us to regularly, at different points, remove it for a season, to fast for a season. And in those moments, in that season, you will realize how you are shaped by technology more than you realize. It's during fasting that you will see what technology is forming within you. And so personally, over the next 4 weeks, so because Chris is coming next week, we got three parts in the series and we got Chris's preach. Got 4 weeks. I just encourage you to fast over the next 4 weeks an area of technology. And so I'm going to fast. Kim's going to fast. We're going to do that. And if you want to know what it is, come and ask us. We're more than happy to tell you what we're going to be doing. But I just want to encourage you to join me. To join me in that challenge. I challenge you. I originally wrote, I dare you, and Kim went, that sounds like a high school kind of thing. But I do. I dare you. I genuinely challenge you to join me. Like, for you, it might be come off social media for 4 weeks and see what happens. It might be to delete that game or that app that you're on all the time. I dare you. Like, what is the thing that you need to remove for a season that is not installing the godly values and godly characteristics within you, right? All these practices, we need to look at it through this lens of boundaries, okay? So shaping healthy boundaries, right? That's not legalism, right? This is wisdom, especially with your children and teens, right? It's not just phones, but it's tablets, it's other screens. Here's some examples of some healthy boundaries we've got in our house, all right? We say no screens upstairs. Right? That's what we say, right? And you need to put that in place. There's time limits. There's time limits on this is how much you're going to have to go on it. And we think, oh, we've got to do that for kids, but like, why are we not doing that? Like, it's all right for us to have an unlimited time limit on our phone, but for our kids, oh, you can put it on a limit. Right, they will look at your usage, and so you need to just be aware of that. But there's just some healthy boundaries to maybe step into a little bit. And so as we come to a close, I want us to finish on something. I want us to finish at communion. And so as we take part in communion together, I want us to think of what technology will often represent in our lives. And so in Genesis 4, the innovations that were happening were all around power, right? The names, the meaning of the names in Genesis 4 were important, right? Cain, his name means to grasp. He's grasping at power. And Lamech's name alone means powerful, right? It was all about gaining and grasping and holding on to power. And then we have in verse 25 and 26, God's line of Seth. Seth, what does your name mean? Anointed by God. Yes, it does. And given, right? You can interpret it both ways. All right? It means the same thing. But it says, at that time, the people began to call on the name of the Lord. Right? Cain's line is about, I want to take power. I want to use power to break things and break people. But Seth's lineage is fulfilled in Christ. It is about power that surrenders. It is about power that redeems. And so the power of Jesus carries the broken in this world and it redeems it into something beautiful and in life for him. And so that is low tech, isn't it? There's a tool of a cup
and a basket and a table. Proper low tech. There's no screen, there's no device over there. It's low tech, but it is full of power. It's beautiful. And so what I want us to do, I want us to, Ian's going to just play, to just fill the sound, all right, for a moment. But Ian's going to just play. And I'd like us to head over to the tables, and gluten-free is this side. Head to the tables, get the bread, get the wine, the grape juice, and bring it back to your seat. And I want us to and I will lead us in a moment of taking communion together, that we can remember the power of God, the power of the gospel, the power of Christ in our life that is dwelling within us and we can hold to it. Amen? And let's head to the table, come sit back down, and we'll engage with God again.